pose now. I was too itchy to sit. I announced my intention, and I got no kickbacks, just acquiescent nods, maybe even relieved nods. What was this? I sat up and came out of myself, where I had been spending a lot of time re-examining the familiar old furniture. I had not been paying attention to the others. They were restless, too. There was something in the air, something that told us all it was time to hit the road. Even the monks seemed eager to see us move out. Curious. Them that stays alive in the soldiering business are them that listens to such feelings, even when they make no sense. You feel like you gotta move, you move. You stay put and get stomped. It is too late to whine about all that work for nothing.
Chapter 12. The Shaggy Hills. To reach One Eye's jungle, we had to pass through several miles of woods, then climb over a range of decidedly odd hills. The hills were very round, very steep, and completely treeless, though not especially high. They were covered with a short brown grass that caught fire easily, so that many bore black scars. From a distance, they looked like a herd of giant, tawny, humped beasts sleeping. I was in a state of high nerves. That sleeping beast image haunted me. I kept half expecting those hills to waken and shrug us off. I caught up with One Eye. "Is there something weird about these hills that you accidentally forgot to tell me about on purpose?" He gave me a funny look. "No, though the ignorant believe them to be burial mounds from a time when giants walked the earth. But they aren't. They're just hills, all dirt and rock inside." "Then why do they make me feel funny?" He glanced back the way we had come, puzzled. "It's not the hills, Croker. It's something back there. I feel it, too, like we just dodged an arrow." I did not ask him what it was. He would have told me if he had known. As the day wore on, I realized the others were as jumpy as I was. Worrying about it did as much good as worrying ever does. Next morning, we ran into two wizened little men of One Eye's race. They both looked 100 years old. One of them kept hacking and coughing like he was about to croak. Goblin cackled. "Must be old Lizard Lips's illegitimate grandchildren." There was a resemblance. I suppose that was to be expected. We were just accustomed to One Eye being unique. One Eye scowled at Goblin. "Keep it up, barf bag. You'll be grocery shopping with the turtles." What the hell did that mean? Some kind of obscure shop talk. But Goblin was as croggled as the rest of us. Grinning, One Eye resumed gabbling with his relatives. Lady said, "I presume these are the guides the monks sent for." They had done us that favor on learning our intentions. We would need guides. We were near the end of any road we would call familiar. Once past One Eye's jungle, we would need somebody to translate for One Eye, too. Goblin let out a sudden, aggrieved squawk. "What's your problem?" I demanded.
"He's feeding them a pack of lies."
So what was new about that? "How do you know? You don't talk that lingo."
"I don't have to. I've known him since before your dad was whelped. Look at him. He's doing his classic mighty sorcerer from a faraway land act. In about 20 seconds, he's going to..."
A wicked grin.